Won't say that was nothing, but it's in the past. We need to worry about the future. She shivered. If these friends of the Republic are right, and the Sith are planning something, then we shall deal with them, he said. If the Sith think to destroy the Jedi, then I promise you, Padme, they'll learn their mistake. She stared at him.
You sound so fierce.
You hardly ever sound fierce, Obi-Wan. Confident. Determined. Cross even sometimes. But not fierce. Not frightening. Firing up the speeder's engine, he shook his head. You've nothing to fear, Padme. You're not a Sith. And with a sharp nod, he peeled the airspeeder away from the veranda and plunged into the traffic stream heading for the temple. Ahsoka felt a shiver of sorrow. They'd lost so many of the 501st at the Teth Monastery. New clones had been quickly assigned to the unit, but cohesion took time.
I hope these new men stay around longer, she thought. Losing people is too hard.
Anakin's solemn expression had eased. I'm sure, Captain. Rex.
Sir?
I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't want to take on Grievous without you. Rex didn't smile because that wouldn't be proper, but his jet-black eyes warmed and he nodded.
It's an honor to have your back, General. Now, with your permission, if there's nothing more I can do for you here, I'll return to my men. They may be ready, but there's no such thing as too much preparation.
Of course, said Anakin. Captain, you're dismissed. Ahsoka smothered a grin as Rex, in passing, spared her a slow wink. The bridge was alive now, its crew staffing every station. The comm channels lively with chatter between Anakin's flagship and her subordinate sisters, the Dauntless and the Pioneer.
Master Skywalker, said Yularen, turning.
Though he was admiral of the battle group, protocol dictated he deferred to the Jedi Council's representative. Unless, of course, said representative did something foolish, like forget to disengage an enemy transponder. Then he got barked at like any rank-and-file pilot.
All stations report ready. Commanders Vontifor and Isabray report ready.
Very good, Admiral, said Anakin. He sounded serene, looked almost disinterested, as though he'd stood on this bridge 100 times already, as though he'd been a battle group commander for years, all his life. In your own time, break orbit and proceed as plotted to the Bothan system.
Understood, said Yularen.
Helm and Admiral. Surprised, Yularen raised a hand to the helmsman.
Master Skywalker?
As soon as we're clear of Coruscant, set the deep space commsats to maximum gain and monitor all bandwidth chatter, no matter how obscure, until further notice. Advise the Dauntless and the Pioneer to do likewise. Yularen hesitated, then cleared his throat.
That'll prove a significant drain on power.
Anakin nodded. I know. Do it anyway. I have a funny feeling our friend Grievous is in a playful mood. Yularen had been around long enough to know that a smart man didn't argue with a Jedi's funny feeling, especially not this Jedi.
Of course,
he said, and nodded to the officer at comms. Under cover of bridge business, Ahsoka gave Anakin's sleeve a quick tug.
What does that mean, a funny feeling?
She asked, almost under her breath.
Do you know something I don't, Master?
His glance down at her was severe. The things I know that you don't, Padawan, would fill a Corellian spice freighter. Twice.
Fine, all right, there was no need to get nasty,
she thought, then muttered.
Yes, Master.
He relented. You heard what Master Yoda said. Grievous is wily. We already know the Separatists have infiltrated Coruscant security, and this mission may be top secret, but it's not like we can hide 3 brand new Republic cruisers. On top of that, a lot of the crew at the shipyard are civilians. Civilians go to cantinas and sometimes drink too much. And when they drink too much, they talk.
About us?
He shrugged. Maybe. Or maybe I'm just being overcautious. But I'd rather be overcautious than caught by surprise. That made 2 of them.
Yes, Master.
The Resolute's bridge was graced with an encompassing transparasteel viewport. Apparently, content to let Yularen run the show, at least for the time being, Anakin withdrew to stand before it. Ahsoka hesitated, then joined him in staring down at glorious, gleaming, glittering Coruscant. She felt a pang.
Is this the last time I'll see it? I don't want this to be the last time. I want to see it again and again. I don't want to die.
Furtive, ashamed, she stole a sideways look at Anakin, expecting him to know what she was thinking, expecting a reprimand, a lecture. Instead, she saw in his face something that shocked her, something she'd never expected, a dreadful, painful, frozen grief. So haunting, so piercing, it was like a spear of ice run through her. It seemed he had forgotten her completely, that in this moment only Coruscant existed.
Does he see something I can't? Does he know we won't be back? Is he saying goodbye? Should I say goodbye too?
She couldn't ask him. His sudden, unexpected misery had infected her, had choked her throat with scorching tears. She watched, her vision blurred, as he stretched out his naked human hand and pressed its palm to the viewport. Coruscant fractured beneath his widespread fingers. And then the planet fell away beneath them as his battle group broke orbit. Bail sat in silence with Padme for a long time after Obi-Wan Kenobi's departure, even though he had no time to waste. Even though his day was crammed from top to bottom and side to side with commitments, the enormity of the situation, its implications, had left him enervated, oddly lost, and beneath that, afraid. An ancient enemy that frightens the Jedi, he thought. Wonderful, just when I thought things couldn't get any worse. Seated across from him, Padme stirred.
I'm sorry I shouted at you. I'm sorry I called you a hypocrite.
He smiled ruefully. I'm sorry I've been keeping secrets like this. It hasn't been easy, but I didn't have a choice.
I know, she said. I understand. Sometimes secrets are necessary.
Doesn't make keeping them any easier.
No, I suppose not,
she said, sounding almost sad.
Bail, you don't have to worry. I'll keep this one with you.
He felt a rush of surprised relief and was ashamed. Are you sure? I know I've put you in a difficult position. I never wanted to. He shrugged and sighed. He'd run out of words. Her eyes warmed briefly.
You needed to trust someone. I'm glad you chose me.
He dredged up another smile. So am I.
And you can trust Obi-Wan, too. You really can.
Master Kenobi. He's quite intimidating, isn't he? Even for a Jedi. Just a little bit, she agreed and pulled a face. You two seem close. Startled, she stared at him. Then she shook her head.
No, not really. At least, sort of.
She tugged at her loosely bound hair.
It's complicated.
Was she in love with Kenobi? He wondered. If so, complicated didn't begin to describe the situation. She trusted the man, that much was obvious. Kenobi trusted her, too, and that was interesting. It might not be love, but there was definitely something between them, something beyond a polite acquaintanceship or the mere political give and take between the Senate and the Jedi. But it's none of my business, he thought. Her life is her own. I really need to go, he said, standing. Thank you. Again, if I hear anything else from my contact, I promise I'll tell you. She stood too, her expression somber.
Only if you want to. Only if I can help in some way. Not because you feel guilty, Bail. Decisions made because of guilt usually turn out badly for everyone.
True, he admitted, and withdrew. The day dragged on, interminable. Bail found himself short-tempered, easily distracted, easily startled. He kept holding his breath, expecting a summons to the Jedi Temple at any moment. None came. Perhaps this whole thing is a false alarm. Perhaps this is one time when my contact got it wrong, he thought. Or perhaps the Jedi had decided he'd played his part and wanted nothing more to do with him. Padme had been right about one thing. Master Kenobi wasn't fond of politicians. Not even his legendary Jedi courtesy and self-control had quite masked the undercurrent of disdain. His path crossed with Padme's twice.
once in their daily security briefing, and again in a short Senate recall when the House was required to vote on increasing the munitions levy on the Core Worlds Consortium. His meeting with other consortium representatives shortly thereafter left him with a truly monumental headache. After that, he was swallowed alive by domestic concerns, appointments with Alderaanian citizens registering complaints, making representations, begging favors. Tell me again why I wanted to be a senator? It was approaching midnight before he finally escaped. Exhausted, punch drunk, he almost staggered through his front door. Too tired even for the restorative consolation of Corellian brandy, he bumped his way to the bedroom and fell face first across the bed. Even his capillaries were aching. Sleep descended with blunt force, bludgeoning him into oblivion. But oblivion didn't last till sunrise. In his hidden tunic pocket, the secret comm link began to buzz. Nauseated from lack of rest, he stared at the decoded message. Decoded it again, just in case his fragile state had led him to making a disastrous mistake. It hadn't. Well, Stang, this is not what I had in mind. Heedless of the unsociable hour, he calmed the Jedi Temple. I need to speak with Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's a matter of urgency.
Master Kenobi is not available at this time, Senator. Perhaps you would care to leave a message.
A message? His life had just turned inside out, and he was supposed to leave a message? Yes, all right. Tell him I must see him as soon as possible. He hesitated, then added, he'll know why. The Jedi on the other side of this insane conversation was silent for a moment.
Yes, Senator, he said. He sounded disapproving. Too bad. I will relay your request at the first opportunity.
In other words, don't think you can throw your weight around, you're just a politician. Clearly, he lacked Padme's magic snap of the fingers. Thank you, he said, terminating the link. Then he refreshed himself with a shower, hauled on clean clothes, placated the demon of hunger gnawing holes in his belly, and sat in the gradually retreating dark to wait. The disastrous news had come through to the temple at 2:06 in the morning, local Coruscant time. By 2:20, Yoda and Master Windu were on their way to the Supreme Chancellor's office for an emergency conference. At 2:31, Anakin Skywalker made contact via hololink.
Obi-Wan, he said startled. I asked to speak to Master Yoda or Master Windu.
Eyes gritty from a lack of sleep, nerves jangling, fighting fresh grief, Obi-Wan shook his head. Alone in one of the Temple Comm Center's booths, he was able to answer bluntly without circumspection.
There with Palpatine, what do you need?
An explanation, said Anakin, sounding baffled and irritated.
He stood at the Resolute's tactical holotable, flanked by his Padawan and silent, self-assured clone Captain Rex.
We've reached Bothawe, but there's no sign of Grievous. It's like he's just changed his mind, or given up.
Obi-Wan's throat closed, and he had to wait a moment before replying. Given up? If only they could be so fortunate.
No, Anakin, he hasn't.
Hologram Anakin stiffened. By his side, his Padawan looked up at him, reacting instantly to his shift in mood. One hand touched her lightsaber.
Something's wrong, said Anakin harshly. What's happened?
There was no easy way to say it, no kind way to break the news.
Grievous has only delayed his pursuit of you. A few hours ago, he picked up 2 more cruisers and coordinated attacks on 3 separate fronts.
It's bad, Anakin. We've lost the battle group at Faleen. 8 more Jedi dead, 8 more friends to mourn. The Separatist fleet commanded by General Grievous is headed your way.
Anakin's face tightened with anger.
Seems like that coward always knows where and when to attack us.
Yes, he did, which was something else they'd have to address, and fast. Because if their losses continued at this pace, there'd soon be no Jedi left. No planet in the galaxy safe from Grievous's predations. But for the moment, his concerns were far more immediate.
You're heavily outnumbered, Anakin. I advise retreat.
If we run, the Separatists will take control of this sector.
Anakin's anger hardened into stubborn resolve.
I can't let them do that.
Of course he couldn't. Retreat wasn't in his nature. But it's something he's going to have to learn if he wants to survive this war, Obi-Wan thought, then said. You might have to. Anakin's outspoken Padawan lifted her chin.
Master Kenobi is right. We should regroup. We don't stand a chance against...
Ahsoka, said Anakin, curt, repressive. But she didn't back down. Yoda had been right, as usual. The young Togruta was more than a match for headstrong Anakin. In fact, she was exactly the Padawan he required.
Suicide is not the Jedi way, Master.
Obi-Wan considered her approvingly, then shifted his gaze.
You should listen to your Padawan, Anakin.
A sly smile curved at Anakin's lips.
As you listen to yours?
He shook his head.
No, we are going to stay and fight.
Bending, he considered the tactical display on his holotable.
And I think I know how to beat Grievous at his own game.
Was there any point in arguing? No, none at all. If for no other reason than Anakin was there, on the spot, in command, and it was his call.
He mustn't see I'm afraid, Obi-Wan thought. He can't for a moment think I don't have faith in him.
Anakin, you'll do what you think is right, as always. Just, and I realize I'm wasting my breath, but I'll say it anyway, don't take any unnecessary chances. Anakin grinned.
You know me, Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan couldn't quite manage a smile in return. Which would be why I said it. May the Force be with you.
And with you, Master.
The hololink dropped out. Obi-Wan stared at the deactivated holocam, feeling his heart thud against his ribs. A throb of pain echoed the beat, thrumming his bones in unpleasant counterpoint. A reminder that not enough time had passed since his recent brush with death. Vokara Chae's instructions had been clear and pointed. Under no circumstances was he to overexert himself. He pulled a face. Tell that to Grievous and to Bail Organa's mysterious friends, he thought. Tell that to Anakin, who's determined to make me old before my time. As he stepped out of the comm booth, one of the temple's newest Jedi Knights approached.
What was his name? Oh yes, Tassili.
Master Kenobi, I have a message for you from Senator Bail Organa.
Boom, went his heart.
Yes.
He wants to see you, Master, now, Tassili frowned. He said you'd know why.
Boom, boom.
Thank you.
Outwardly serene, inwardly disconcerted, Obi-Wan accessed the relevant data file, noted Organa's private address, and took his leave of the temple. Chapter 12. Master Kenobi, said Bail Organa, standing in his apartment's open doorway. He looked exhausted.
You came.
Obi-Wan nodded.
Your message sounded urgent, Senator.
Yes, yes, I suppose it did. Organa blinked, then shook his head and stepped back.
It was. I'm sorry, please, come in.
Obi-Wan entered the apartment and followed Organa through to the sitting area. The place was spacious, immaculate, possessed of a typically restrained Alderaanian elegance. Beauty mattered, but it was never ostentatious. Organa indicated a long, low couch.
Have a seat. Can I offer you something? I have Corellian brandy or a fine white wine from my family's vineyard, tea.
First an urgent peremptory summons, and now the man was playing the gracious host?
I am too tired for this, Obi-Wan thought, then said, thank you, no.
No, said Organa, and dropped into a chair.
Did I drag you from your bed, Master Kenobi? If so, I apologize.
No, Senator, Obi-Wan said, taking a seat on the couch. I was awake. Organa straightened, alarm burning away the tiredness.
Something's happened.
Given his position on the Security Committee, the Senator would find out soon enough. No harm in telling the truth.
We lost the Fallene battle group. Senator, was there a particular reason you needed to see me, or...
Organa wasn't listening.
The whole group? He asked. Every cruiser?
Every cruiser, every Jedi, every Republic officer, every clone.
Yes, Senator Organa, you...
Organa pinched the bridge of his nose hard. The Bespin Dancer, was she still a part of the Falene group?
I believe so, Senator.
Organa's eyes were blanked with shock. My wife's cousin is a TAC officer on the Dancer.
Ah, unfortunate.
Then, Senator, I am sorry for your loss, but if we could perhaps... Some dark feeling, almost revulsion, touched Organa's face.
Some people say the Jedi are cold, unfeeling. Are you trying to prove them right, Master Kenobi?
There was no answer for that. Obi-Wan stood.
Senator, I think...
You lost Jedi in the battle group, said Organa. He sounded accusing. Were they your friends? Aren't you grieving for them?
Lobus Loban, Kydra, Tapashil Arkan, Obi-Wan thought, then said,
Senator, you said you needed to see me urgently. If that is not the case, I shall return to the temple. Sit down. Obi-Wan stared at him. The man is distraught, exhausted, than a senior government official. Master Yoda needs no more trouble tonight, he thought. Then he sat very slowly.
Senator?
Organa pressed his palms flat to his face, took a deep, shuddering breath, exhaled it sharply.
I'm sorry, Master Kenobi, he said, his voice muffled, then lowered his hands. That was uncalled for.
Tell me, what were you able to find out about Zagula?
Nothing, I'm afraid, said Obi-Wan, grimacing. Master Yoda and Master Windu have never heard of it, and there is no record of a planet by that name, or any name close to it, in the temple archives.
Dex hadn't heard of it either. Neither had any of his contacts, and Dex could cast a wide net. If it weren't for the first message's mention of the Sith, he'd be convinced the whole thing was a mistake, or a hoax.
Senator, why did you ask me here? Have you been contacted by your source again?
Yes, said Organa, fingers drumming his knee. A new tension deepened the lines in his face.
They say they know where Zagula is. They want to meet us there.
Show us something to do with the Sith that they can't, won't, discuss via coded shortbursts. They've sent the first set of coordinates for the journey.
Meet us?
Obi-Wan shook his head.
Absolutely not, Senator. If this Zagula exists, and if it does have a link with the Sith, it's far too dangerous a place for you. I'll go alone.
Organa's eyebrows shot up. I don't think so. We go together, or I'll go alone. I'm more than happy to leave you behind.
I'm afraid I can't agree to that, or to you accompanying me.
Well, if you want anything to do with this, Master Kenobi, I'm afraid you'll have to, Organa retorted. Because if you think I'm going to hand over my comlink, my data reader, and my decryption codes, and wave goodbye as you fly off to meet my contact without me, you're a much stupider man than I thought.
Obi-Wan bit back an impolite epithet. Politicians.
Senator, we have been through this already. The Sith are Jedi business, not yours.
Wrong, Organa snapped. Given my security duties, they are very much my business, and they're going to stay my business for as long as I'm the one receiving the coded information about them.
Now, it seems to me we have a choice, Master Kenobi. Either we can sit here till sunrise arguing, or we can agree that, like it or not, you and I are about to become much better acquainted.
Obi-Wan stared.
Meaning?
Meaning I have a fully provisioned ship standing by. It's nothing fancy or particularly fast, and it's a bit on the small side, but it's spaceworthy and civilian registered. No senatorial or Alderaanian connections. It'll get us to Zagula without drawing undue attention or breaking down, you have my word. Especially since, at the risk of sounding immodest, I happen to be an accomplished pilot.
The man was so ridiculously cocksure. How very like a politician to believe his limited power to control events is, in fact, unlimited.
Senator, I don't wish to be rude, but I must point out to you that there is a great deal of difference between comfortable core-world hopping and deep space expeditions.
Organa's eyebrows pinched in a frown.
No. Really?
Really, Obi-Wan said, letting a little of his impatience show. In the event that I become incapacitated, are you saying you can strip down a malfunctioning hyperdrive unit, correctly identify the problem, replace its faulty components, or improvise new ones, and reassemble it to full performance capacity? Organa grinned. A standard LT-5 unit? Yes. Did it last week, as a matter of fact. It's good relaxation, and I like to keep my hand in. Time myself just for the fun of it. 38 minutes, how about you? 38 minutes, he thought. That was 3 minutes faster than his own best time. How aggravating. I am mechanically proficient. So that makes two of us. Any more questions? Yes, there was one. Something Organa had said earlier. What did you mean when you said first coordinates? Organa's grin vanished. I told you these are very cautious people we're dealing with. They'll guide us to Zagula in several stages. Us. Obi-Wan shook his head and thought, letting him accompany me is a very bad idea. Then he said, Senator, you must reconsider. Your place is here in the Senate. Be guided by me and remain on Coruscant. The last time I looked, Master Kenobi, I wasn't your Padawan, said Organa, shrugging. I don't need to be guided by you. And who knows, I might even come in handy. Come in handy, he thought. This man was insufferable, a typical politician after all, obsessed with power, control, and turning a situation to his personal advantage. Oh yes, I'm Senator Bail Organa, the man who saved the Jedi when they couldn't save themselves. For the second time, Obi-Wan stood. I very much doubt that. And if anything untoward should happen to you, it would be most unfortunate. So, on behalf of the Jedi Council, I thank you for your information, Senator, and request that you take no further action in this matter. He was halfway across the apartment's spacious entry hall when Organa came after him. Master Kenobi, wait! At the touch of Organa's fingers on his shoulder, he spun around, a heartbeat from reaching for his lightsaber. Organa stepped back, hands raised, eyes suddenly wide and watchful. Sorry, no disrespect intended, he said. I only want you to hear me out. Heart thudding, Obi-Wan took a step back himself and slowly, deliberately, clasped his hands before him. I'm too tired to be here. My judgment is clouded, he thought. I should not have come. Senator? Look, said Organa, and he put his hands down. We both want the same thing, right? The Republic safe, the Sith stopped. And like it or not, without my contact, you've got nothing. Are you really going to let Jedi pride get in the way? Pride has nothing to do with this, Senator, he said, uncomfortably close to losing his temper. The Sith are dangerous. How many more times must I tell you before you believe me? Organa folded his arms, his expression settling into stubborn lines. I already believe you. But my life is sworn to the safeguarding of this Republic, just like yours. I've got as much right to risk myself as you do. If anything, it's my duty to pursue this matter. Frustrated, Obi-Wan stared at Padme's aggravating friend and thought, She trusts him, remember? And you trust her. I must confer with the Council, he said curtly. Wait there, don't move. A presumption on his part, given that this was Organa's home, but he was past caring. Yes, Master, said Organa, one eyebrow lifted. Obi-Wan returned to the Senator's living area, pulled out his comlink, and contacted Yoda with an update.
A disturbing development this is, Obi-Wan. Convinced you remain that this danger is real?
Obi-Wan sighed. I'm convinced, Organa's convinced, Master Yoda, he said, keeping his voice low. I sense no deception in him.
Perhaps, but a Sith trap this still could be.
Yes, Master. The thought has crossed my mind. Do we know where Dooku is? Yoda snorted.
A separatist convention on Janissant he prepares to attend, Obi-Wan. Support for his disloyalty he seeks to expand. Reports there are on the Holonews.
Which still left the mysterious Darth Sidious. But if Dooku had told the truth, and Sidious was influencing the Senate, chances were he wouldn't abandon Coruscant. Not for long. Master, I know it's risky, but I think we must pursue this matter. Said Yoda, his grumbling tone so reassuringly familiar.
Correct you are, Obi-Wan. but comfortable I am not with further involving Senator Organa in Jedi business.
Obi-Wan glanced behind him, but there was no sign of Organa.
Nor am I, Master, but do we have a choice? His contacts won't talk to anyone else. If I'm going to question them about a possible Sith threat, it will only be through him.
True, but an important man he has become, Obi-Wan, regarded highly by the Supreme Chancellor. To Bail Organa must no harm come.
I understand, Master Yoda. Although he'll not appreciate a Jedi nursemaid, in that respect, he's very like Senator Amidala. Yoda snorted again.
And like Senator Amidala, accept our protection he will, Strong enough are you, Obi-Wan, to undertake this task?
Now Yoda sounded doubtful.
The truth I need to know. Depend on it, your life might, and the life of Senator Organa.
In other words, Obi-Wan, don't be a hero. Precisely the advice he kept giving Anakin. Like Master, like Padawan? Is that what Yoda means? Vokara Che has said I am healed. I feel fine, Master Yoda. Besides, this isn't all-out battle. It's a recon mission. More than likely a false alarm. But if it's not, you have my word I won't do anything foolish. At the first sign of trouble, I will call for reinforcements. If there were any to be had, of course. With the loss of the Faleen battle group, their situation had gone from spread thin to close to breaking. With an effort, Obi-Wan wrenched his thoughts away from that disaster. It was done. It could not be undone. The Jedi who had perished were reunited to the Force. They would be remembered in ritual, and life would go on. Yoda sighed again, breaking the heavy silence.
A dangerous undertaking this is. Perhaps another Jedi I should send with you.
It was a comforting but impractical thought. You can't, Master Yoda. The Senator's instructions were quite specific. One Jedi to accompany him, and no more.
Then follow you, someone could, Disappear without a trace, you might, Master Kenobi.
He had to smile. Who would you send? There's no one, and we both know it. It will be all right, Master Yoda.
Thought that we did when to Kamino we sent you.
A decision that had sparked a train of events ending under a hot sun on the bloody sand of cruel Geonosis. So many dead Jedi who came to rescue me, Obi-Wan thought. With a small effort, he pushed the thought away. History will not repeat itself, Master Yoda, he said harshly. On that, you have my word. Another long silence, and then another heavy sigh.
Very well, Obi-Wan. Permission you have to follow this lead with Senator Organa. For unravel this new Sith mystery, we must. Your ship's transponder frequency, give to the Temple Comm Center. Out of contact, you must not be.
Of course. He was ready to end the call, but then memory prodded him. Master, I'm so sorry. Anakin has...
Yes, I know. The transmission recording I have seen.
Now he sounded stern.
Monitored young Skywalker's progress will be.
The warning was unstated but abundantly clear. Focus on your own mission. He is not your concern. It wasn't true. It would never be true. But he could pretend it was true, at least for now. Yes, Master. And that was that. Well, said Organa, strolling into the living area, do I pack myself a spare shirt or don't I? His tone was amused, his manner unconcerned, at least on the surface. Beneath it, however, trepidation and doubt churned. Obi-Wan turned away from the window and met Organa's tired gaze without hesitation, knowing his own thoughts and feelings were nowhere to be seen. Yes, Senator, you do. As promised, Organa's ship was entirely unremarkable. An early model D-class Starfarer, designed for economic utility, not luxury, it was one of the Corellian Engineering Corporation's most popular small civilian craft. Sturdy, reliable, shaped like an elongated lozenge, it plowed through the layers of Coruscant's atmosphere without incident. They'd filed a false flight plan with Coruscant Space Central. Once they were clear of its auto-tracking sensors and well into free space, Organa programmed the nav computer with the coordinates provided by his contact, then turned in the pilot's seat to look at Obi-Wan, neatly tucked in behind and to his right, at the ComSat console. Before we jump into hyperspace, I'd like to tell Breha, my wife, about the Bespin Dancer, he said quietly. Do you have a problem with that? Obi-Wan finished coding the ship's transponder beacon frequency for transmission to the Jedi Temple. It might be better if you didn't, Senator, he replied, hitting the console's transmit toggle. It's sensitive information, and there is the question of security. You think you need to lecture me about security? Organa snapped. Why do you think I didn't call her from my residence? Obi-Wan had wondered, in passing, why Organa would log his emergency absence from the Senate and leave a voice message for Padme but not contact his wife. Your domestic arrangements are none of my affair, Senator. Not domestic arrangements, Organa said impatiently. Security measures. Because of the terror attacks that nearly killed you, we were forced to implement some extra precautions. Communications, safety checks, monitoring. They don't apply to off-world transmissions not destined for Coruscant. I can talk to Breha from here without creating a problem for anyone. Extra precautions? Monitoring? That sounded ominous. I see. Organa wasn't an imperceptive man. He heard the note of reserve, of doubt. The measures are temporary, he said. They'll last as long as the current security climate dictates and no longer. Obi-Wan nodded. Of course, but I still don't advise that you discuss the Bespin Dancer's fate with your wife. I don't know what Palpatine has authorized in terms of information being made available to the public. Breha is not the public, said Organa, his voice chilling. She's the head of the Alderaan government. And it's her cousin who's died. They grew up together. They're more like brother and sister. I don't want her finding out from a Holonet news bulletin or in some impersonal Senate communique. I want her to hear it from me. Obi-Wan looked at Organa, torn between bemusement and irritation. Since you're clearly determined to tell her, Senator, I don't see why you're bothering to ask my opinion. Neither do I, said Organa, and linked through to his wife. Eyes closed, unhappily aware that when he'd told Yoda he was fine, he'd perhaps exaggerated a trifle, Obi-Wan let Organa's quiet sorrow wash through him. Denied himself any response to Breha Organa's muted cry of grief, allowed the physical pain in his weary, too recently insulted body to drown the emotional pain of remembering his own friends lost at Faleen. Physical pain was more acceptable than the suffering brought on by misplaced attachment. As Organa warned his wife he'd be out of contact for a little while, some unexpected off-world business, no need to be concerned, Obi-Wan slipped into a light trance that he hoped would, in some small way, replenish his diminishing reserves of strength. Reality faded. At some point, he was dimly aware that they'd jumped to light speed. Organa startled him to wakefulness by tapping him on the shoulder. Here, said the senator, and he held out a medicup. Painkillers, you're not looking too good. And then you should go lie down, get some sleep. Obi-Wan looked out of the cockpit viewport at the lazy swirlings of hyperspace, then at the drugs, and didn't bother to hide his lack of enthusiasm. No, thank you. Take them, Organa insisted. You got blown up a few days ago in case it slipped your mind. Oddly enough, I do remember the incident, Obi-Wan said. Senator, your concern is appreciated, but I am a Jedi. I do not require chemical assistance. Organa frowned. Okay, so this is how it's going to be? Me making sensible suggestions and you kicking against them just because you can? Master Kenobi, I'm bored already. Take the Kriffing drugs. It was childishly tempting to pluck the medicup from Organa's fingers using the Force, but that would be beneath him. So he took the wretched painkillers like any non-Jedi and swallowed them dry. There, see? Organa said, ridiculously pleased. That wasn't so hard, was it? He dropped back into the pilot seat. You really should go lie down. I've seen white sheets with more color than you. I feel bound to point out that you are looking equally beleaguered, Senator. When was the last time you enjoyed adequate rest? I'm fine, said Organa. I took a stim. A stim? Wonderful. And when your metabolism crashes after its effects wear off, then what? Organa shrugged. Then you can sit in the pilot's seat and I'll put my head down. Assuming, of course, you know how to fly this thing. Obi-Wan stood. Now you're just being deliberately provocative. Very well, I shall retire.
Good idea, said Organa. Wish I'd thought of it.
I calculate a little over 3 hours flying time to reach the first coordinates. I'll wake you when we drop out of light speed.
That won't be necessary, Senator, Obi-Wan replied over his shoulder. I'll know when we shift back to normal space.
Organa muttered something uncomplimentary under his breath. He sounded irritated. Declining to acknowledge either the comment or the tone, Obi-Wan retreated to the compact, some might have said claustrophobically small, passenger compartment at the rear of the ship. 4 economical sleep bunks were built into the gently curving walls, each one concealed behind a self-sealing curtain. He selected the nearest cubicle, unstrapped his boots, and placed them neatly to one side. Then he unclipped his lightsaber and tossed it beside the single pillow, unbuckled his belt and put it with his boots, and rolled onto the mattress, which obligingly gave to his weight and immediately began warming to provide optimum comfort. One swift tug pulled the curtain closed. A single flick of his fingers activated its malleable nanopolymers. He closed his eyes, breathed out, and was immediately asleep.
Drifting in the Force, he sees a great space battle. 3 Jedi cruisers, valiant and overmatched, hold their own against the might of a merciless enemy. Hold the line to protect an innocent planet, its innocent citizens from slavery and worse. To protect an ancient republic from falling into chaos. The distant sun turns an asteroid belt to fire, splinters of a dead moon reflecting the light. A swarm of starfighters, angry metal hornets, burst from their safe nest into the rocky night. The enemy flogs them with fire, lashes them with laser whips. Brief life, bright death. It looks hopeless, a rout, a pointless, wasteful slaughter. Mired in horror, he says no, and no. He cannot help them. He is only a witness. And then, lumbering out of hiding, come the ponderous ATTEs, belching plasma. Thundering death. Like prehistoric predators, they come, delivering harsh justice. The merciless foe founders choking on defeat. A stricken enemy starship burns. It burns. One small ship escapes it. One hornet pursues. Closer, closer, coming closer. And then a plume of flame, a wave of disbelieving fear. The enemy, triumphant, smears against the stars, escapes to kill another day, and the hornet dies in a shower of exploding shards.
Anakin! Said Obi-Wan and sat up on his narrow bunk, his heart pounding erratically. On the other side of the sealed curtain, Organa cleared his throat.
Master Kenobi, are you awake?
Obi-Wan unsealed the curtain.
What is it?
Organa's eyes were red-rimmed from his ill-advised stim intake.
Your Padawan is asking to speak with you.
Not dead, then. Not lost.
For a moment, the relief felt like fresh pain. Then Obi-Wan nodded, groggy, his mind sluggish. A vicious headache pounded through his temples. He felt like a dishcloth wrung dry by careless hands. Blinking, he cleared his blurred vision. Not my Padawan, not anymore. He swung his feet to the deck and stood. Please tell him I shall be there momentarily. As Organa nodded and withdrew, Obi-Wan put his boots back on and his belt, hooked his lightsaber where it belonged, then went forward to the cockpit where real space glimmered through the viewport, and a small hologram Anakin shimmered and shivered on the ComSat console's holoreceiver pad.
Master, where are you? I transmitted through to the temple, but the signal was rerouted.
I'm running an errand, Obi-Wan replied.
So, you're in one piece after all. How did you manage that?
In one piece? Said Anakin, surprised.
You mean you know?
Of course. He managed a smile, managed to sound calm, even bored.
But why are you reporting to me and not the Council?
Anakin shrugged. Was it a trick of holography, or did he look evasive?
Old habits die hard, I guess. What kind of errand?
The irrelevant kind, Obi-Wan said repressively. It's a shame about your starfighter, Anakin. It's not like they grow on trees, you know. Anakin sighed.
Sorry.
It wasn't fair to scold, not after his brilliant achievement. Don't apologize. You saved Bothawi, with boldness and daring against significant odds. Congratulations, Anakin. Your resourcefulness always amazes me. He expected a grin, some kind of cocky, inappropriate rejoinder. Instead, Anakin seemed suddenly downcast.
Thank you, Master.
A tickle of unease. What's happened now? He thought, then said, You look troubled.
I lost R2 in the field.
Machines, again. His ridiculous affection for nuts and bolts and circuitry. It's time he grew out of this, Obi-Wan thought. R2 units are easily replaced. Anakin wasn't listening.
I could take a squad out there, track him down.
What? Anakin, it's only a droid, he said, letting his voice snap a little. You know attachment is not acceptable for a Jedi. Anakin seemed to brace himself then, seemed to lose his newly acquired confidence and polish.
It's not just that. How do I put this?
Oh no, put what? Anakin, what have you done? Obi-Wan thought. Anakin's expression was a muddle of defiance and contrition.
I didn't wipe R2's memory.
Obi-Wan stared as the words sank in.
What?
The enormity of the confession almost stole his breath. He's still programmed without tactics and base locations? No, 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 this was impossible. Obi-Wan thought, surely I trained him better than this, then said, If the Separatists get hold of him... A dozen nightmare scenarios ignited his imagination, scenarios that made the Fallen battle group's loss seem insignificant. He didn't even try to moderate his anger.
What possessed you not to erase that droid's memory?
As Anakin stared at him, miserably silent, Ahsoka stepped into holotransmitter range.
Master Obi-Wan, sometimes R2 having that extra information has come in handy.
So the Padawan was defending her master, was she?
She certainly doesn't lack courage, he thought. I'll give her that.
But her defense, her justification, meant nothing, changed nothing. He wanted to shout at Anakin, reach through the holotransmitter, grab his shoulders and shake him. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But that was physically impossible, and shouting was ill-advised with Organa listening to every word. With a wrenching effort, he banished profitless temper. Find that droid, Anakin, he said flatly. Our necks might very well depend on it. Anakin brightened, doubtless surprised to escape so lightly, doubtless pleased that he got to save the machine.
Right away, Master.
No wonder he hadn't wanted to contact the Council. I'll inform Master Yoda you're engaged in mopping up operations. But handle this quickly, Anakin. Time is not on our side. Determined now, Anakin nodded.
I will, I promise. Thank you, Obi-Wan.
You're welcome, he growled and severed the hololink. Chapter 13 Trouble? Said Organa, shamelessly eavesdropping. No, he said. He coded an update for the Council for transmission as text, then sent it. With luck, they'd take the report at face value and not attempt a holographic follow-up. He still couldn't believe Anakin had been so reckless, or was he just being willfully blind? Anakin had always pushed far beyond what sensible people considered the bounds of safety, of sanity. It was a kind of untamed genius. Qui-Gon had seen it, had gambled on it all those years ago on Tatooine. Had chanced many lives on the outcome of a pod race, risking their futures on the untrained, untested skills of a slave boy. And he'd been right. 10 years of rigorous training later, it seemed the genius still wasn't completely tamed. Would never be tamed. Anakin continued to defy logic, ignore protocol, trample underfoot the rules he was meant to follow. Confident, always, that he would prevail. Confident his former master would have his back. And I did. I still do, he thought. But one of these days he's going to do something I can't justify. and what will become of him then I don't dare to contemplate.
So, said Organa, intruding on his thoughts, or possibly rescuing him from them, everything's all right?
Of course, he said, shifting in his seat to stare through the viewport at the scattering of distant stars beyond.
We're at the first coordinates? Got here nearly an hour ago.
So much for knowing when they dropped out of light speed.
What's our location?
About 3 parsecs to the right of Kuat.
Still within the core worlds, then?
Organa shrugged, apparently.
And we've yet to hear from your contact.
Oh, no, said Organa, leaning back in his seat. I received the next coordinates 10 minutes after we got here. We're just sitting around because I like the view. You hungry?
Obi-Wan looked at him and thought, this is going to be a long, long journey, then said,
yes.
We've got meal packs in the galley, Organa pulled a face.
Well, the closet that's masquerading as a galley. Help yourself.
Bring me one too, could you?
Certainly, Senator, he said with exquisite courtesy. It would be my pleasure.
He made his way to the ship's compact kitchen, extracted 2 meal packs from the well-stocked conservator, and took them back to the cockpit.
Thanks, said Organa, taking his and twisting the heat seal.
That Padawan of yours seems quite the handful, he added as he waited for the meal to warm up. I'll bet he keeps you on your toes.
Obi-Wan returned to his seat at the commsat console.
I told you, he said, activating his own meal pack's heating mechanism. Anakin is no longer my Padawan.
You remember to tell him that? Said Organa, amused. Because he sure called you fast enough when things went wrong.
Obi-Wan stared at him and thought, whatever happened to reserved formal Senator Organa? Throw in some profanity and this man could easily be mistaken for a Corellian bartender. Padme might have warned me.
Anakin values my advice.
Uh-huh, said Organa. He peeled back his meal pack's lid, and immediately the cockpit filled with the rich scent of spicy sauced fondor fowl.
And you value his safety.
There it was again, that sly, prodding, poking undertone.
Meaning what, Senator?
Organa shrugged.
Meaning nothing, it's just an observation.
He wanted to say, keep your observations to yourself, but he didn't.
Replies merely encouraged more comments, prolonged a conversation for which he had no desire.
He turned his attention to his own meal, which had also reached its optimum temperature, peeled back the lid, snapped free the attached spoon, and began to eat his fish hot pot.
Do you ever wish you weren't a Jedi? Said Organa around a mouthful of food.
So much for enjoying the peace and quiet.
No.
Not ever, not even once? You've never considered what it might be like to have a different life?
No.
Frowning, Organa sat back, another spoonful of fowl paused partway to his mouth.
It's never bothered you that you didn't have a choice about being a Jedi, that you were given to the temple as a baby.
Clearly, short of gagging the man, now there was a tempting thought, conversation was going to take place.
Obi-Wan repressed a sigh. It wasn't the first time he'd heard such a sentiment, and it wouldn't be the last. It was only to be expected. Outsiders did not understand.
You sound as though you're regretting your defense of us against the Quarren's allegations, Senator.
Not at all, said Organa. Only a fool or a troublemaker believes the Jedi are baby thieves.
Obi-Wan considered him.
But, Organa shrugged, I have wondered from time to time about the way Jedi are raised. You must admit, Master Kenobi, it's not exactly a normal life.
That would depend on how you define normal, Senator. He shook his head. While it's true that many children are given to the temple as infants, no child is kept with us against his or her will. The temple is not a prison. It is a home, a school, a world within a world. A safe haven for those born with peculiar sensitivity to the Force.
Believe me, Senator, there is more suffering experienced by those Force sensitives denied Jedi training than any Padawan you might meet.
So there is suffering, said Organa, discarding his emptied meal pack. You don't deny it.
Nobody's life is devoid of suffering, Senator.
That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Organa's gaze narrowed.
Come on, Master Jedi, don't dance with me. If you are asking me whether it is sometimes difficult being a Jedi, the answer is yes, he replied calmly. Is it your assertion that being a senator is a bed of half-a-blossoms? Organa snorted. One full of thorns, maybe, but at least I'm not forbidden, what did you call it? Attachment? At least I don't have to pretend I don't care about things, about people. There are many different ways of caring, Senator. Surely you're not so arrogant as to claim your way is superior to everyone else's. Huh, said Organa, amused and irritated in equal measure. You know, Master Kenobi, for a Jedi, you're a pretty good debater. You should think about a career in the Senate yourself. Obi-Wan shuddered. Perish the thought. You really don't like us, do you? Said Organa, half smiling, intrigued and a little piqued. Politicians, I mean, as a breed. What did we ever do to you that you'd be so... What? Said Obi-Wan, putting aside his meal. Organa slid his hand inside his plain blue tunic and pulled out a small, innocuous-looking comlink. Contact, he said quietly. Excuse me. He left the cockpit, heading for the passenger compartment. Obi-Wan watched the separating curtain pull shut, shrugged, and returned to his meal. Three more mouthfuls finished it. So he collected Organa's empty container, slotted it into his own, then used the Force to crush both into a small, neat cube ready for disposal in the waste chute. Organa returned a few minutes later, slid into the pilot's seat, and began programming new coordinates into the nav comp. Where to now? He asked, if you don't mind my asking. They'll know yet, said Organa, punching the calculate key. The nav comp hummed, then flashed a green light. Ah, at Zeri. He flicked a sideways glance, more or less, assuming nothing goes wrong. Nearly 17 hours flight time. So, from the core world region to the edge of the inner rim. Did that mean Zagula, if indeed the planet existed, lay somewhere in the sparsely charted regions of the galaxy's outer rim? Or even beyond? It seemed a reasonable hypothesis. Surely not even the Sith could hide a whole planet if it lay close to the heart of the Republic. Or close, at least, to any systems already familiar and regularly visited. There is no point speculating, Obi-Wan thought. I'll find out soon enough if we are destined for the Outer Rim, or farther. Something wrong? Organa said, frowning at him. Not at all. Tell me, Senator, how is it your contact knows when it's time to transmit the next coordinates? They have my private link ID, said Organa. The message I left on it saying I was taking care of some family business was our prearranged starter's flag. After that, I suppose it's a simple case of chrono-watching and mathematics. I see. And given Coruscant's recently adopted security measures, how is it you've managed to keep the communications from your contact secret? I'm assuming that all incoming transmissions are monitored as well as outgoing? Organa looked down. For the briefest moment, his expression twisted with discomfort, uncertainty. Then he sighed, his olive skin tinting from a rush of blood. You need me to spell it out for you, Master Kenobi? Not even the first word. You want to know why I distrust politicians, Senator? This is why. You have a disconcerting habit of making up rules that don't then apply to you. It's a common hobby for those in power, I've found. I didn't hear you complain when I filed that bogus flight plan, Organa retorted, stung to self-defense. Senator, you know perfectly well that such an action falls under the purview of the Clandestine Operative Act. As a Jedi, I have often filed a false flight plan. You are being disingenuous. I doubt the same legislation covers your activities. No, it doesn't, Organa said, his voice low. And if you think I'm happy about it, you're wrong. But I can live with it because I know I'm not acting against the Republic's interests. I'm acting in its interests, and right now I'm probably risking my life for its interests. So I'd be careful, if I were you, about accusing me of disloyalty. I would never do that, Senator. I don't question your motives or your commitment to the Republic. But it's so easy to justify and rationalize one's actions, to find an excuse for doing what we want to do, even though we know it's wrong. Yes, your motives are pure. But will that be true of the next politician who ignores the rule of law? Who says, trust me, What I'm doing is illegal, but it's for such a good reason. Organa shook his head. I had no idea the Jedi were so cynical.
Not cynical, Obi-Wan said gently. Realistic. We do get to see rather a lot of the galaxy, Senator, and we're called in so often to clean up the messes politicians have made.
Politicians don't just make messes, Master Kenobi, said Organa, his eyes troubled. Good things are achieved, too. I think the scales are more evenly balanced than you'll admit.
Perhaps. It's an interesting hypothesis, at any rate. But rather than debate it now, I suggest we continue our mission. I fear our window of opportunity might be closing as we speak.
True, said Organa, but he didn't initiate the jump to light speed. Instead, he leaned forward, his expression taking on an intent hunting bird aspect. But I want to get one thing straight before we make another jump. You Jedi see things, right? Feel things? Other places, other times. I mean, you knew something had happened to your Padawan. You woke up, and you knew.
I failed to see what... Don't interrupt me, and I'll explain, said Organa. I know you think you're humoring me right now, letting me tag along with you like a pesky kid. And maybe you think I need protecting like a kid, but I don't. In fact, I won't stand for it. So if your Jedi powers show you something about us, about this mission, you tell me. If we're flying into danger, you tell me. You don't keep it to yourself because you think I'm a soft politician who can't deal with harsh realities.
This man, he thought he knew about the Jedi, but he was ignorant. He knew nothing.
Do you think I would lie to you, Senator?
In a heartbeat, Organa said promptly. If you thought it was for my own good. But my own good is what I determine it to be, not you. So I want your word that what you know, you tell me, the moment you know it. Or I swear I will turn this ship around right now and take you back to Coruscant.
And continue on your own?
Yes.
That would be a grave mistake, Senator.
Organa shrugged, smiling thinly.
Maybe, but I'll make it without thinking twice. If you Jedi really can read people, you know I mean it.
Oh yes, he meant it.
Very well, Senator, you have my word.
He offered a thin smile of his own.
And just for the record, beyond a general and not unreasonable unease, I do not feel we are in danger.
Now, said Organa, but how long will that be true?
I cannot say, Senator.
Because the dark side clouds everything?
And Obi-Wan hadn't been expecting that.
It's something Padme said once, Organa explained. I've never forgotten it.
And how would she know? Was that Anakin speaking out of turn?
Wonderful.
The last thing he needed was Organa to worry about the dark side, especially when there was nothing he could do about it.
It was a figure of speech, Senator. The Jedi are hardly crippled. If there is danger, I will sense it, and I will tell you.
Okay, said Organa, nodding sharply. I can live with that.
His lips quirking in a brief smile, he threw the ship into hyperspace.
But you know, he added, standing, you really need a better reason for disliking me than the fact that I'm a politician. Disliking me just for that makes you shallow. And you're a lot of things, Master Kenobi, but shallow isn't one of them. Maybe you can think up a few more reasons while I'm getting some sleep.
He raised an eyebrow.
I'll do my best, Senator.
I'll bet you will, Organa said with another brief, twisted smile. Then he left the cockpit, whistling a jaunty tune under his breath.
Obi-Wan stared after him.
This is a test, he thought. The Force is testing me. 12 years of Qui-Gon, 10 years of Anakin, and now I get him.
Exhaling sharply, banishing dismay, he slid into the pilot's seat, checked the flight console to make certain every system was running smoothly, then folded himself deep within the Force to rest. And hopefully pierce the dark side's cloying veil to search for dangers as yet unannounced.
10 hours later, Organa returned to the cockpit, bringing a data pad and a preoccupied expression with him. Relieved that the man appeared to have lost interest in conversation, at least for the moment, Obi-Wan left him to his work and withdrew to the passenger compartment. Not needing more sleep, he gave himself over to a deeper force meditation than he'd been willing to undertake while on duty at the helm. Still, no hint of danger could he sense. Zagula, the Sith, remained elusive. He searched for Anakin, but beyond a vague impression of urgency, could not bring him into focus. And really, there was no point in trying. Anakin had his mission, and I have mine, he thought. As Qui-Gon had told him so many times, he had to keep his concentration on the here and now. After an hour, he stirred and checked the cabin's chrono. 6 more hours before they reached their destination. He wasn't a senator with committee work to ponder, new rules to dream up that he could ignore or circumvent when it suited him, but still, a Jedi did not lack for tasks. The passenger compartment was too small for lightsaber drills, but there was enough room, just, for him to work through his Alchaka meditations. Stripped down to his leggings, barefoot, he drove himself through the meticulous repetitions, striving for perfection of form and execution, failing, as always, but never forgetting that the striving was all. Time slid by, sleek as cool water. Strengthened by the Force, buoyed by its constant presence, he lost himself in familiar motion, invigorated himself with physical toil. After 2 hours, he felt his edge begin to dull, felt the loss of concentration that heralded the end of effectiveness. Slick with sweat, breathing hard, he eased himself out of the Force and back to the paucity of an exterior life. As always, it took him a little time to reacquaint himself with mundane reality, where the light seemed thinner, colors dimmer, scents and sounds less vivid, less true. As always, he felt a dreadful tug of loss, leaving behind the force-fed richness of his inner life. He availed himself of the ship's extremely small refresher, then dressed again, noting that his tunic and leggings were looking a little the worse for wear. There was a compact laundry unit, however, which was fortunate, since he hadn't brought a change of clothing with him. Presentable again, he went forward to the cockpit, where Organa was scowling at his data pad. "So here's the thing," said the senator, not looking around. "The argument goes, according to Raltier anyway, that because they're on the very edge of what's designated as the Core Worlds region, they shouldn't be expected to carry the same burden of Core Worlds consortium levies, because they are, in effect, the first line of defense for planets like Alderaan and Coruscant, which are closer to the center. To be precise, they think Alderaan and Coruscant, oh, and Chandra-La, should subsidize their munitions levy." Now Organa spun his chair around, data pad in one hand. "What do you think?" Obi-Wan smiled. "I think I'm glad it's not my problem." "And I think I'm starting to think you've got the right idea about politicians," Organa muttered, rubbing his eyes. "Shoot me now." "Before or after you've eaten," he replied. "I was about to heat another meal pack. Can I do the same for you?" "Thanks, but I ate earlier." Organa tapped a key on the data pad and tossed it onto the console. "I think I'll have a drink, though. A Black Moon ale in a glass, no ice, just a twist of Sarsata peel. You'll find that in the conservator," he added helpfully, "in the jar beside the pickled rata bulbs." "Treating me like a waiter, Senator." "Oh well, it was his own fault for offering." Organa's eyes were glinting. He was waiting, hoping for an offended refusal. "Not a chance, Bail Organa. As you say, I'm not that stupid." He offered the man an ironical bow. "Certainly, sir." Organa laughed, suspecting mockery. "Okay." He chose a meal pack without bothering to read its contents, poured Organa's ale into a glass, and added a twist of blue Sarsata peel. The astringent fumes made his eyes water. Then he returned to the cockpit. "Sir," he said, handing the glass to the senator with another bow. Organa considered him, uncertain. "I was only joking, you know. I didn't actually intend for you to..." "I know," he said, resuming his seat at the commsat console. "But I'm sure you'd do the same for me." Organa swallowed a generous mouthful of the ale. "What was that you were doing before?"
"Before?"
"Yeah." Organa jerked his chin. "In the passenger compartment. I saw you when I was getting dinner. Lunch, breakfast, food anyway. I lose track of which meal is which. What was it, some kind of Jedi training program?" The meal pack finished heating, but he ignored it, disconcerted. Organa had watched him? but the Alchaka meditations were deeply personal.
Some kind, yes.
It looked like hard work, Organa said, swallowing more ale. But you were breezing through it, and I couldn't help but notice there's hardly a mark on you. A man gets himself blown up, you'd think he'd have a few scars. Obi-Wan opened his meal pack to find some kind of curd and vegetable stew. It smelled pleasant enough, but his appetite was abruptly dulled.
Jedi healing is most effective.
Yeah, so I saw. One scar only on your arm. There was an undercurrent of disapproval in his tone. Obi-Wan looked up, frustrated.
From a lightsaber.
If I'd realized it would distress you, Senator, I'd have worn my tunic during my private meditation.
I'm not distressed, just curious.
He put down his meal pack.
You are not curious, you're critical.
Are you suggesting I should have refused healing?
Had I done so, I most certainly would have died.
No, said Organa. No, of course I'm not suggesting that.
Then what, Senator? If you have an observation to make about the Jedi, you should feel free to make it.
We are not some secret society immune from public commentary. Organa swallowed the rest of his ale in one gulp.
No, but you are pretty mysterious.
Mysterious? I hardly think so.
Ha! Said Organa. Now who's being disingenuous?
Sure, you've got a public face, guardians of the peace, upholders of the law, protectors of the weak and helpless. Wherever there's trouble, there's a Jedi trying to put out the fire. Everyone knows that. But you're a bit spooky, too. You've got this mystique, this aura. You're not like the rest of us, Master Kenobi. You're beings apart, with powers and abilities ordinary folk can't understand. You get blown up and, hey, presto, you're healed. Not a mark to show for it. Not a limp, not anything. When normal people get hurt, there's a consequence. But not for you Jedi.
Obi-Wan felt his jaw clench.
Really? You should advance that theory to my former Padawan sometime, Senator. He'd be most interested to hear it. And when you've done pontificating, he can show you his prosthetic arm.
Organa blinked. Then he dropped his gaze to the empty glass he nursed in both hands and stared at the bedraggled blue twist of Sarsata peel at its bottom.
All I meant, he said at last, his voice tight, is that it's a shame the other people hurt in the terrorist attacks can't experience the same benefits of Jedi healing that you did.
He looked up then, and his eyes were haunted.
I saw some of them, you know, after. And even with intensive Bacta treatment, there are now children who will have to go through life hideously maimed and disfigured. It's sad. It's cruel. That's all I meant.
The man's compassion was laudable, but his inferences were insulting.
I think what you meant, Senator, is that it's somehow unfair that I'm not sharing their fate, Obi-Wan snapped. And then he caught hold of his temper, crushed it before he said something truly unfortunate.
It's not because we don't care, he continued, far more moderately.
We do, I assure you. However, healing is one of our rarest gifts. We help as many as we can, wherever we can, and keenly regret that we cannot help more. But are you saying that because we can't help everyone, we shouldn't help anyone?
No, I'm sorry, said Organa, shaking his head.
This isn't coming out right. I really am on your side, you know. I admire the Jedi enormously. I'm in awe of what you do. But in case you hadn't noticed it, this war has thrust you onto center stage. You're in the news every day. Everything you do is being examined, magnified. And when the novelty's worn off, it's going to be second-guessed and maybe even held up for censure. Especially if the war drags on or doesn't go our way. Because you have been placed on a pedestal as tall as any Coruscant skyscraper.
That was never our intention, Senator, I assure you.
I know, said Organa. But you're up there regardless. You're the Jedi, Master Kenobi. Larger than life and twice as hard to kill.
Still, the more systems the Separatists entice or strong-arm to their side, the more suffering and fear the Republic experiences. The closer the Separatists creep to the core, and the longer it takes the Jedi to end this conflict, the harder your pedestal is going to rock, especially if it's perceived that you're not suffering like everyone else.
Not suffering, Senator? He said, incredulous.
After Geonosis? After the engagements we've fought already? And losing the Faline battle group? Must the Jedi Temple itself fall before it can be agreed that the Jedi are also paying a price for this war we did not start?
Of course not, said Organa. I'm talking about perception, not reality, the bedrock of politics. I think you'll grant it's one of my areas of expertise.
The least honorable of them all, Obi-Wan nodded. I concede your point.
And I wish you didn't have to, Organa replied.
Master Kenobi, the Jedi have been the Republic's peacekeepers for generations. Citizens are used to you solving their local problems, their community disputes, but we both know that what we're facing is far more complicated. And I promise you, when things get really bad, you will be blamed.
Curd and vegetable stew forgotten, Obi-Wan stared in silence at the senator from Alderaan.
I'm sorry, said Organa, turning away.
You don't have to say it. I'm just a politician. It's none of my business.
Just a politician?
No, far from it. Now it was clear why Padme liked and trusted this princeling from Alderaan. He was unexpected.
The Jedi aren't blind, Senator, he said at last. We're perfectly aware that our elevation in the public eye is problematic. We opposed it vigorously. We continue to oppose it. We are, as you say, peacekeepers, not celebrities. The Supreme Chancellor should reconsider his tactics. We feel very strongly there is a chance they could end up doing us more harm than good.
Surprised, Organa turned back. Then he pulled a face. Palpatine means well. His problem is he's not enough of a politician. He never has been. He's just a kindly provincial senator who blundered into high office by chance. If the Trade Federation hadn't invaded Naboo, if Valorum hadn't lost his grip, someone else would be Supreme Chancellor now. He doesn't see the pitfalls of what he's doing. He genuinely believes it's all for the best.
Obi-Wan reached for his meal pack and took refuge from troubling thought in food.
Perhaps it will be, he said, forking up his first mouthful.
The stew had cooled almost completely, but his empty belly didn't care.
Though I do not think so.
Neither do I, said Organa. He looked again into his glass.
Think I'll help myself to another ale. Can I get you one?
He shook his head.
Alcohol is not recommended for Jedi. Water will suffice, thank you.
We've still got a few hours flying time, Organa said casually, returning to the cockpit with their drinks. And I've had as much as I can stand of Raltir's whining, at least for now.
Fancy a game of sabacc? There's a pack of cards around here somewhere and a few tins of pocho nuts we can use for credits. Unless Jedi don't gamble.
On the contrary, said Obi-Wan, we gamble all the time, just not on games of chance. Besides, for some strange reason, we tend to make our fellow gamblers uneasy.
Can't imagine why, said Organa, grinning. So sabacc it is. Do you promise not to use any Jedi sleight of hand?
Only if you promise to spare me your wily politician's ways, he replied, deliberately placid.
Organa nodded, still amused.
Deal. We can play in the passenger compartment. The NavComp alarm will let us know when we're approaching Atzeri.
What? Said Obi-Wan, as the senator considered him, his gaze narrow and speculative.
I didn't think you'd say yes.
Why wouldn't I? He said, pretending surprise. Sabacc is a perfectly respectable way to pass the time.
I guess, said Organa, gesturing.
After you.
Hiding a smile in his beard, Obi-Wan pushed past the curtain into the adjoining passenger compartment.
Yes, indeed, it's perfectly respectable, Obi-Wan thought, and a keen diagnostic tool for those who know how to use it. And I intend to use it, Senator.
There is far more to you than meets the eye, it would seem.
Chapter 14. Obi-Wan won the first game, which taught him that Bail Organa was a bold thinker, an innovative strategist, a man not afraid to take risks for the chance of a reward. But one also inclined to act on faith, rather than a surety of good cards. The second game, he lost,
which taught him that Padme's friend was a very fast learner who could sum up an opponent quickly and didn't make the same mistake twice. Armed with these useful nuggets of information, he immediately abandoned his previous tactics and began to play the next hand like Qui-Gon used to. But just as it seemed that he might possibly win the third game, the nav comp started beeping again. They'd reached Atzeri.
"You know much about this region of the Republic?" Organa asked as they sat a safe distance off the busy planet's single craggy moon. He nodded, dark memories stirring.
"I know a little. I was involved in settling a dispute on Tar 4, nearly 16 years ago now."
16 years. Organa chewed his lip.
"The Kalfalini plantation dispute? You were involved in that debacle?" He cocked an eyebrow.
"Well, I didn't cause it, if that's what you're suggesting."
"I know what caused it," said Organa, his eyes hot with memory. "Local organized crime. My uncle was murdered by those scum, killed in cold blood, just for standing up to thugs who thought working people to death was acceptable economic practice."
Stinking smoke in the morning, the stench of burned flesh, a scarecrow figure nailed to a stake, charred to friable ash. But not even fire could hide the brutal fingerprints of torture.
Obi-Wan swallowed. "The agricultural expert, Tavor Mandirli? He was your uncle."
"My mother's youngest brother," Organa grimaced. "She never got over what they did to him. In the end, his death killed her. So you could say they murdered two members of my family."
"I'm sorry."
Organa shrugged the condolence aside. "Raxus and the Lead should have paid for what they did."
"They did pay, Senator."
"Fines," spat Organa. "Money. They should have paid more. They shouldn't have been allowed to buy their way to absolution. You Jedi should have made them pay a real price."
Obi-Wan sighed. "We are not executioners, Senator, nor are we instruments of vengeance. The government of Antara IV asked us to assist them in apprehending those responsible for outrages committed on the planet's largest Kalfalini plantation, and we did. What happened after that was an internal matter. We are limited by our mandate."
"That's easy for you to say," retorted Organa. "Did you see what those animals did to Tavor? Did you see how he..."
"Senator, I found him."
"Found him," Obi-Wan thought. "And for many nights afterward screamed for him in my sleep. Because you were right, Senator. The Force shows us the past as well as the future."
Silenced, Organa stared at him.
"I didn't know that," he said at last, subdued. "I never knew the names of the Jedi who went to Antara IV.
"Yes, well," he said dryly, "those were the days when the Jedi weren't holonet news stars."
"So, it was you."
Organa shook his head.
"Now there's a coincidence. Small galaxy, isn't it?"
"Sometimes it feels that way. Except there were no coincidences in the Force. And everything happened for a reason. This was meant. It was meant.
The question was, why?"
"I suppose now you think I'm uncivilized," said Organa, taking Obi-Wan's silence for disapproval. "After all, no proper, peaceful Alderaanian would bay for the blood of those murdering beasts."
Such pain in him, such grief and loss. 16 years, and the anguish hadn't dulled. Was this Anakin's fate, now that Shmi was dead?
And is it mine also, Obi-Wan thought. Qui-Gon was father and brother to me. Family, as the world outside the temple counts such things. Is it the relationship that won't let the wound heal, or the way that they died? Stolen, murdered, ripped from life before their time.
Perhaps. It was a troubling thought. As a Jedi, he wasn't supposed to care so much.
Attachment again, his perennial stumbling block.
"Let go," said Yoda. "So much easier said than done. Perhaps if he lived a few hundred more years."
"No, Senator, I don't think that," he said gently. "I think you're a son who loved his mother and her brother. I think you're a man who despises greed and cruelty, who burns for justice."
He hesitated, then added, "Qui-Gon and I also wished they had paid a steeper price."
Organa was frowning.
"Qui-Gon who was killed by the Sith?"
"That's right."
"Just as a matter of interest, Master Kenobi, what happened to the Sith who murdered your master?"
Obi-Wan took a deep breath, let it out very slowly. I believe you know perfectly well, Senator. Organa pretended to think, pretended amazement.
Oh, yes, that's right. Padme said, you killed him.
A thin, knife-edged smile. But you're not an agent of vengeance or anything. He said nothing to that. There were no words. The thing is, Master Kenobi, said Organa, still smiling that thin, dangerous smile, you're not the only one who can learn things playing sabacc. He took another deep breath, let it fill his lungs completely. No more twinges from his healed broken ribs. Eased it out again, and with it, all emotion. Apparently not, Senator. And then Organa's comlink buzzed, and it was time to receive their new instructions. Munto Kodru, said Organa, reading off the nav comp. That's a long way from the core worlds. It was indeed. Munto Kodru lay in the distant reaches of the Outer Rim territories. Not even the Separatists had reached so far. Perturbed, Obi-Wan considered his inconvenient companion. Senator, I think we need to reconsider our situation.
Why? Said Organa. We've got plenty of supplies. The ship's still sound. What is there to reconsider?
Your participation in this mission, he said bluntly. We have no idea how much farther from home your contact will send us. We might well end up deep within the unknown regions.
So far? Said Organa, skeptical. Surely not. Why would the Sith be all the way out there?
He shrugged. I don't know, but with the Sith, anything is possible. My point, Senator, is that it's not safe out here.
Organa pretended shock. Not safe, Master Kenobi. I had no idea. Why didn't you warn me? Quick, let's go home.
Mock me if you must, Senator, he said, resisting the urge to grit his teeth. But I would be remiss if I did not point out that while we have traveled without incident until now, our circumstances might easily and swiftly alter. There is still time to change your mind.
Organa looked at him steadily. Do you want to turn back?
No. But this isn't about me. I am a Jedi, and this is what we do. You are a married Republic senator.
I don't want to turn back, Organa said flatly. I don't want to give up. I want to stop the Sith and put a face to the faceless people who've been helping me all these years. And to be perfectly frank, Master Kenobi, I'm getting pretty tired of your attitude. Would you be asking Padme if she wanted to turn back?
No, but Padme had long since proven herself. This man was an unknown quantity. Padme isn't here, Senator. I am merely concerned for your safety.
Let me say this for the last time, Master Kenobi. You let me worry about that.
The problem with being stuck in a very small spaceship, in what amounted to the middle of nowhere, was that one couldn't simply walk away.
I swear he's as bad as Anakin, Obi-Wan thought. But at least I could tell Anakin to be quiet and do as he was told, and he had to obey me.
Very well, Senator, he said. It's your decision. I can only hope you don't come to regret it. And with that trenchant observation, turning his back on Organa, he tried to contact Yoda. But distance and the vagaries of interstellar galactic phenomena combined to degrade his comm signal to fragments. He did, however, manage to raise Adi Gallia, who was battling a Separatist detachment on the comparatively close outer rim planet of Agamar. She promised to relay his message back to the temple as soon as possible, and bade him be careful, whatever else he did. She didn't ask what he was doing so far from Coruscant, not from lack of concern, but because the days where they could talk freely were behind them. Even knowing that, it was on the tip of his tongue to ask her about Anakin, if she'd heard any news, if he was returned safely from his droid hunt. But he couldn't. He didn't want to betray Anakin's miscalculation to a member of the Council. Not before it was absolutely necessary, at least.
May the Force be with you, Adi, he said, and terminated their comlink.
Then he turned to Organa, who was running a check on the nav-comp calculations. When you're ready, Senator.
I'm ready, Organa muttered, clearly still rankled. Munto Kodru coming up.
He fired up the star drive and nudged the ship away from Atzeri into open space. When the nav comp beeped the all clear, he kicked them over into light speed. Beyond the viewport, the stars swirled and streaked. Real space vanished, and they were at the mercy of otherness. Obi-Wan stood. If you'll excuse me, Senator, I have meditations to perform.
Sure, said Organa, reaching for his datapad. Knock yourself out. Don't let me hold you up.
The words were colloquial, conversational. The tone was curt. The lofty galactic representative dismissing an underling, the hired help.
I am a Jedi. We do not take such things personally.
They didn't attempt to slam curtains either, but it took a lifetime of training to resist the urge. 3 more days in hyperspace, claustrophobically cocooned. Such a pity it wasn't a faster ship. Organa buried himself in the work he'd brought with him, a virtual mountain of domestic and inter-system legislative business. Obi-Wan, observing this, found himself reluctantly admiring. Just like Padme, and unlike so many other senators the Jedi had observed, Organa was no pretender. He took his duties seriously. It was a curiously comforting discovery. For his own part, he turned captivity to his advantage, surrendering himself to the kind of deep meditations usually practiced by Jedi on retreat, or committed to the contemplative life. To his relief, he could sense no lowering danger, no threat from Grievous to these distant hyperlanes, which wasn't surprising. There was little out here for the Republic to want, and if the Republic didn't want it, neither did Dooku and his separatists. What he did perceive, in glimpses, were some of the Jedi's Outer Rim campaigns. Adi Gallia triumphant on Agomar. Ki Adi Mundi defeated almost to death on Barab 1. Eeth Koth defending the besieged people of Korriban, surrounded by drifts of dead and dying clone troopers. Saisi Tin in desperate straits closer to the core on Bimisari. But no. No. That was not now, that was then. A trade dispute of the past, long since peacefully settled. He caught a single impression of Anakin, more feeling than vision. Sorrow, frustration, a crushing fear of failure. He couldn't find that wretched droid. Well, try harder, Anakin, he thought. Did you think I was joking? R2 in the wrong hands could spell defeat for us all. Irritation battled with a razor-sharp concern. His greatest fear was that they kept asking too much of the Order's vaunted Chosen One. That, dazzled by his potential, they blinded themselves to his youth. And now that he'd scored such a decisive victory at Bothawi, with the crisis of war deepening, the trend would surely continue. But not to his detriment. No matter what it takes or what it costs, I must continue to protect him. It was hard being out here so far from the temple, from the war suspended in this bubble of waiting, unable to help Anakin, to help Ki Adi Mundi or Eeth Koth, help any of his fellow Jedi fighting on too many desperate fronts. He'd never been like Qui-Gon, able to stop in the midst of action and simply suspend thought and feeling. Accept the moment as it was, without question, until the moment transformed into a new reality. No, he'd always needed to be doing something. Making things happen, seizing the moment by the throat.
You're a restless spirit, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon used to say, rueful and resigned. And as usual, he was right.
The life of a contemplative is most certainly not for me, he thought. But he could endure it for a short while if it meant thwarting the Sith. And when he wasn't sleeping or meditating, and Organa was safely out of the way in the cockpit cursing Raltir or whoever, he performed his Alchaka forms, disciplining his body as rigorously as his mind, banishing the faint, lingering traces of recent injury, becoming himself again, not a moment too soon. And so the time passed, and they came at last to Munto Kodru.
"6 hours and not a whisper," said Organa, his fingers drumming a staccato tattoo on the console. "They've never made us wait this long before." Obi-Wan slid his gaze away from the looming bulk of the planet, a cloud-banded sleeping jewel surrounded by 12 spinning moons. Their ship sat high above the planet's nightside, deep within the 12th moon's shadow, unobserved. Below them, Munto Kodru's surface was spackled with lights from its cities. Brighter lights flitted like fire drakes, ships arriving and departing at irregular intervals. "Be patient, Senator," he said. "If your contact is as reliable as you claim, we will hear from them." Frustrated, Organa glared at him. Then he punched the helm console. "Patience is all well and good, but we can't sit here forever." "No, we can't," he agreed mildly. "It's only a matter of time before we attract the attention of the Kodru G, which is not advisable." Another glare. "Then what do you suggest?" Obi-Wan reached into the Force with his newly honed senses. "An hour," he murmured, drifting in the light. "Let's give your contact one more hour." But in the end, they waited less than half that. And when Organa's comlink buzzed this time, and he answered it, there came no coded shortburst, but instead, the sound of a living human voice, mature, female, confident.
"Senator Organa, do you copy?"
Organa snatched up the comlink from the console. "Yes, yes, I copy, I hear you. Who is this? Who am I speaking to?"
"A friend."
"Yes, I know that, but..."
"Names can wait, Senator. I'll introduce myself properly when we meet."
Organa was gripping the comlink so tightly, he was in danger of breaking it. "I've been looking forward to that. Where are you, somewhere close?"
"Close enough," said the woman. "I'll shortburst you the NAVCOM coordinates in a moment."
"We thought something had gone wrong," said Organa. "You took so long to..."
"A precaution,"
said the woman.
"We wanted to be certain you were truly alone before allowing you to see us face to face."
Organa frowned. "Of course I'm alone. Well, aside from the Jedi who's accompanied me. Surely you know by now that I honor our arrangement to the letter." Through the slight background slush came soft, not entirely amused, laughter.
"These are dangerous times, Senator. It doesn't pay to take anything or anyone for granted. Not even you. Not even the Jedi."
"I appreciate that," Organa said after a moment. "And I hope you know I don't take you for granted. What you've done, what you're doing now..."
"Thanks conveyed too, Senator,"
said the woman.
"Let's focus on defeating the Sith. Stand by for our coordinates and our transponder beacon frequency. It'll guide you right to the front door."
"Understood," said Organa. "We'll see you soon." "These friends of yours are indeed cautious," said Obi-Wan as they waited for the coded shortburst to come through. "I told you," said Organa, "so it's a good thing you..." He broke off as the comlink buzzed, then received their next location. When the data was downloaded, he stood. "As I was saying, it's a good thing you and Master Yoda didn't try anything tricky, like have another Jedi trail us." Obi-Wan kept his face blank. "Senator?" "Don't tell me you and Master Yoda didn't discuss it," said Organa, deceptively reasonable. There was a cold glitter in his eyes. "Back on Coruscant, in my apartment." Obi-Wan sighed. "A timely reminder this, not to underestimate our friend from Alderaan." "What Master Yoda and I discussed then is hardly relevant now, Senator. You and I are here and about to meet your contact. I suggest you decode that shortburst so we don't keep these friends of the Republic waiting. After all, that would be impolite." Organa gave him a look but didn't pursue the matter, just withdrew to the passenger compartment. On returning to the cockpit, he programmed the NAVCOMP, then the transponder beacon. "Well," Obi-Wan asked as the Senator stared at the readout, "where to this time?" "I don't know," Organa said slowly. "The NAVCOMPs accepted the coordinates, but the destination's coming up as unknown." For the first time since his vision of Anakin's battle against Grievous at Bothawe, he felt a prickle of definite, specific unease. "Interesting. What's the distance between here and there?" 9 parsecs, which definitely takes us beyond the Outer Rim. "Beyond the Outer Rim and into unmapped territory." Obi-Wan stroked his beard. "A leap of faith indeed, Senator." "Yes," said Organa very quietly, the merest shadow of uncertainty ghosting across his face, as though at long last the implications of his actions were beginning to sink in. "Now do you understand, Senator?" Obi-Wan thought. "Now do you grasp what I've been trying to tell you? We are standing on the edge of the unknown, and if we fall, there is no one to catch us." So let's leap, said Organa. He engaged the ship's thrusters, pushed them away from Munto Kodru's 12th moon, and jumped them into hyperspace. Leaving Organa to distract himself with more legislative brouhaha, Obi-Wan withdrew to the passenger compartment and sank himself into a light trance. That prickle of unease had unsettled him. There was something not right. He could feel it. A potential of trouble approaching, a possibility of strife. But what was its source? Was the